Before I speak about how to handle coming late to davening, I first like to speak about the virtues of coming on time to davening. Okay? As you all know, one obvious bonus of coming on time to davening is that you get to daven all of davening, rather than skipping parts of it. If a person davens in a minyan that they simply daven too fast, then on time for him might not be 7 o'clock, it would be on time for him is 6:55 or 6:56. You will find that, you know, adding only 3 minutes onto your psukhi of Zimra would make like a world of a difference. You know, like all of a sudden, instead of like running or going the rate of a freight train through psukhi of Zimra, if you add 3 minutes, 180 seconds onto your psukhi of Zimra, all of a sudden you find yourself actually thinking of what the words mean and perhaps even connecting to Kodesh Baruch Hu. All that in 3 minutes. Now that's an incredible thing. It's worth at least one experiment to try. But what I suggest to people is to add on, besides the 3 minutes, to add on an additional 120 seconds, okay, beyond the 3 minutes that it takes you to put on your tefillin. Okay, the average person puts on his tefillin in about 3 minutes, so you have to come 3 minutes earlier for that. And if, depending on the rate of your psukhi dezimra, you might want to come in, you know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes early for that, unless you know your minyan davens exactly at the rate that you read. On top of all that, I'm talking about sitting there with your tefillin on, knowing that you have no rush, and just sitting contemplating what you're about to do, while you're there, what you're about to do, and doing nothing but just sitting there and thinking. Not talking to the guy next to you. Usually most people don't come early because they don't know what to do with the time, and if they come early, they start to schmooze with the person next to them. Saying to cognitively sit down and decide, no, I want 60 seconds or 120 seconds just to think about the fact that I'm approaching a Kaddish Baruch. Okay? Try right tonight at Maariv, and you'll see it works like magic. It really changes everything. Instead of feeling that you're constantly catching up to everybody else and it's just like a rat race of catch up and checking this box and checking that box that you have to do, you start to contemplate things, and that's definitely, you know, the most important step towards tefillah. Now, we've already learned in Brachot something special this year that hasn't been done in like 14 years. We're learning in this perek the importance of tefillah b'tzibur. Tefillah b'tzibur, as the Gemara describes it, is a tefillah ritzuyah lifnei Hashem. You are also considered to be part of a group, meaning your tefillah is not being weighed only on its own personal virtues, but the virtue of the entire tzibur and the zechuyot of the entire tzibur. There's also another dimension, the fact that it's not, in other words, it's not just that you become batel to or part of a tzibur, it takes on a different dimension. You as an individual, you're being mitpal for yourself, asking God or thanking God for things that happen to you, but you're also you also have a different identity, and that is the identity of being part of Klal Yisrael. You're standing before God as part of Klal Yisrael, and therefore thanking God for what He's done for Klal Yisrael or asking God to help Klal Yisrael, it's a completely different dimension of tefillah, and therefore standing as a tzibur resonates in that dual identity that each Jew really has. Okay. Added on to all this, what I mentioned before about coming on time, is a very, very important aspect, and that is simply the respect that you're giving Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the respect that you're giving the act of tefillah, the fact that you're on time. When a person comes on time to anything, it's usually a show of respect, that he values that, and that's why he's coming on time. And if you went to the movie that you're most looking forward to see, you don't want to walk in 5 minutes late, right? It shows importance. It shows that you value it. That said, even the best of us, at times, things happen. You know? Sometimes onus, sometimes a shogeg. Things happen and people come late, and the question is, how do you deal with it exactly? So, the first thing I want to point out is that there are certain brachot and certain parts of davening that are indispensable. You can't skip them. You always have to do them before davening. As an example, bracha of al nisyat yadayim. Okay, when you wake up in the morning, you have to do an Tehillat Yadayim, and you have to make a bracha on Tehillat Yadayim. According to all Rishonim, even though it's a Machlokas Rashba and the Rosh, but according to both of them, the main takana of Netilat Yadayim is for Tefillah. The only machloket they have is there another dimension of Ruach Ra and other things as well, or not? But for Tefillah, the main purpose of Netilat Yadayim is Tefillah. The Gra, as an example, held Halacha Lamaisa, that not only are you chayav to be notel Yadayim before Mincha and before Marav, but you're supposed to make a bracha of Netilat Yadayim before Mincha and Marav. Okay, not too many people do that, but that's the main purpose of Netilat Yadayim. And therefore, no matter how late you are, you always have to do that first. Included in that also is Asher Yotzar. Person wakes up in the morning, whether he goes to the bathroom or not, you say Asher Yotzar as well. Another thing that a person has to do before davening is Elokai Neshama. And Elokai Neshama is basically thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for reinvigorating or giving you back life on some level, rather than just being, you know, asleep in a semi-conscious or non-conscious state. That's what you're saying, Elokai Neshama. Yes.
Do any of these three apply if you didn't go to sleep?
I'm not going to deal now with an issue of Shavuot, if you stay up all night or whatever. I mean, it's a machloka whether they apply or not, and that's why. I'm not going to go into it now. Yeah?
Let's say you're davening not straight after you've just woken up, like an hour after you've woken up, then you see the bracha of Adam Netilat Yadayim before you daven or when you wake up.
Oh, so that's a machloket achronim, what you should do. I'm not going to paskin for you. I'll tell you what I do and what the rationale is. What I personally do is, when I wake up in the morning, I'm not so machmir like those people that have a nachla at the side of their bed and wash right away before they even get dressed. I don't do that. I get dressed first, tie my shoes first, then I go to the bathroom, and only after I go to the bathroom do I wash my hands negel vaser, and not before that. And the reason, there are some that say otherwise, that they say as soon as you wake up, you want to get rid of the ruach ra, do it until your time, and then go to the bathroom, get dressed, put on your shoes, tie your shoes, go to the bathroom, and then you're going to have to wash again, because if you either went to the bathroom or touched your shoes before davening, you have to wash. And again, the main purpose of your dine, mi'ikra din, is for davening. Okay? The reason why I don't do that is because it brings on a problem of a suffix brachot. When are you going to make the bracha? When do you make the yadayim? If you wash right away, as soon as you wake up, so you might have to make the bracha then. Okay? If you later go to the bathroom, right, and you're going to wash nebulas again, so if the main purpose of the yadayim is for tefillah, and as I pointed out to you, the gra, even before mincha, when he would wash, he would make the yadayim. So it's not clear, are you supposed to be making the bracha before the first one or the second one? So I force myself to be makil on the issue of ruach ra and putting on my clothes, etc., and going to the bathroom even though I didn't wash yet. And in order to be more machmir by the issue of the suffik bracha. So I do everything that would be a problem doing right before davening. Once I put on my shoes, go to the bathroom, and then wash negovaser and make a alantiyat yadayim. And basically, you're really not supposed to be doing anything else before you daven. You're not supposed to be, I don't know, running the track or do it. You're supposed to basically go to davening. Sometimes your commute might be a half an hour, might be an hour before you actually daven, but, you know. On those days that I wake up early before Minyan, it happens sometimes on Shabbat as an example, I would still make an attempt, yadayim, after I'm dressed and I went to the bathroom, knowing that I'm not going to do anything else, that are going to make me chayav to do another netilah before davening. My shoes are on. My shoes are on. In other words, you're saying you want to walk around the house for an hour or two with your shoes off. Oh, I don't have a solution for you. We'll have to figure out some kind of a tailor-made sock for your particular situation. Okay? Yeah.
You touch your shoes during the day. You have to wash your whole megamaster before diving in.
Yes.
And
you wouldn't make a bracha, but you have to wash negel. You have to wash. Now, I wouldn't call it negel vasa because you don't do the 3-3-3-3 thing. You can just do 1 or 1-1-1-1.
So where does the 3-3-3-3-3-3 thing come from?
Where does it come from?
Yeah, why the multiple times?
The multiple time is basically because of the chashash of ruach ra, and the understanding of getting the ruach ra off completely. I'm not going to go into it more than that.
So you still do the 3-3 even though you don't know.
The gra actually says 4, like you know, like in the Torah, it's not a total of 6, a total of 8. But you do that only in the morning, or if you sleep in the middle of the day more than an hour. More than 72 minutes, you would also do it, but without a bracha.
Do you still do the 6 times, even though you're not chashash for ruach ra?
Yes, I didn't say I'm not chashash. I'm not worried about the ruach ra bothering me about putting on my clothes and my shoes and going to the bathroom. I just put the ruach ra on hold and take care of it later, that's all. Yeah.
So if you wash first thing in the morning and you think you're going to get dressed and go to the bathroom, so that's cool. You not see a bracha the first time you wash?
If you scratch your hair or a place of your body that's normally covered, then before davening you would have to wash. Yeah.
Even for shoelaces,
if you're capable of tying your shoelaces without touching your shoes, it's probably okay. The Shulchan Aruch, after bringing down all the halachas of dying for davening, at the end of the last halacha, he says, besides of which, if you scratch a place that's normally covered in your body or your hair, it's kosher l'shikcha, it's going to cause you to forget. Yeah.
What about rubbing your eyes in the morning if you haven't washed up?
The Shulchan Aruch says you're not supposed to touch your eyes and your mouth and your nose, etc., until you've done Negovasa. So it's preferable not to do that until after Negovasa. Yes?
Does the same apply to before learning Torah? And also do you have to like wash
if you touch your shoes, you have to wash your hands before Torah as well.
And do you have to wash your hands at all with like Negovasa after going to the bathroom, or just simply washing hands until it works?
Right. It's I'm going to answer your question, we're going to move on. It's Makam Ayushir on Negovasa. But, I'm just going to give you my view on things, on the question that you've asked, and you have to understand there are other shito. The halacha brings on: if you go to the bathroom, you're supposed to wash your hands with a kos to get rid of the ruach ra. But again, ruach ra is secondary. The main issue is nikiut, is cleanliness. As the Gemara talks about cleanliness, doesn't talk about ruach ra and going to the bathroom. It's kind of late Rishonim or Achronim that come up with the Kabbalists to get more into the Ruach Ruach, etc. It's mainly Nikiyot cleanliness. In my opinion, now that we live in a society that's aware of germs and aware of how important it is to wash after you go to the bathroom and to wash with soap after you go to the bathroom, my opinion is that halachically, you're chayiv to wash with soap. In other words, our awareness that it's not clean, just because your hands look clean, that's not clean. If you went to the bathroom, and washing without soap, I mean washing with a cup, and you're not using soap, in my opinion, it's not enough. Not only as far as hygiene and medicine are you chayv to wash your hands, or nishmartim otim lav shesechem, as far as the din of washing hands after the bathroom, in my opinion, the din includes having to use soap. So if you want to be machmir and use soap, and then after you use soap, go ahead and use a kos, then you can, vakasha. And there are people that do that as well. But in my opinion, if you have to choose between using a kos and using soap, for sure you should use soap after the bathroom at the expense of using the kos. Because main din is nikiut. The secondary din is ruach ra. Okay? Let's say it. Anyways, so alukai neshama, the reason why you have to say that before davening, even if you're late, and even if it's going to cost you, we'll see, tefillah b'tzibur or anything, you have to say alukai neshama, is because the bracha in Shmon Esrei of Mechayim Meitim, when you say to Kadosh Baruch Hu Mechayim Meitim, so a lot of people think, oh, that's talking about Tchiyat HaMeitim. It is talking about Tchiyat HaMeitim, but it's also talking about Mechayim Etin, the fact that God, you know, created humankind in such a way that they wake up in the morning, and now we're in a conscious state. And therefore, when you in Shmona Esrei, when you say Mechayim Etin, it patters the bracha of Al Kain Neshama. So if a person after davening remembers, oh, I forgot to say Al Kain Neshama, he doesn't say Al Kain Neshama anymore because Mechayim Etin is potter it. That's how the Elia Rabba paskins. There are achronim that are cholek. As an example, the Pri Megadim feels that Mechayim Etim doesn't pater El Kain Neshama. So it's a machlokas achronim, but you want to get away from machlokas achronim, and in any case, you would say Safek Brachas Lahakel. So you want to be makbid to say El Kain Neshama before. If before you started Shmona Esrei, you remembered, oh yeah, I forgot to say El Kain Neshama, so the Mishnah Berurah says what you could do is have negative kavanah. But as I told you, that negative kavanah is a very tricky guy, right? You want to have negative kavanah that you don't want to be yotzei El Kain Neshama with it when you say Shmona Esrei, and then you can go ahead and say El Kain Neshama afterwards. The next bracha that you still have to say, no matter what, is Birchat HaTorah. Okay, and some of you might have gone to sugi already. It's a machlokas rishonim, whether Birchat HaTorah is even midyaraita, according to some rishonim. And the reason why you must say Birchat HaTorah before you start davening is because Ava Rabba is really Pater's Birkat HaTorah. Ava Rabba, Avtonu Hashem Elokeinu, you showed us an incredible love, and then you're basically asking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help in learning Torah, and basically you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Torah, and asking him for Siyata Shemaya, and that is the essence of Birkat HaTorah. And therefore you have to say it before Ava Rabba. Now, the Prima Gadim does mention that if you remembered right before Ava Rabba that you didn't say Birchas HaTorah, you could have negative Kavanah. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes other Achronim that you can't have negative Kavanah because the essence of Ava Rabba is only thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Torah. And therefore, it's not possible. Mechayim Etim, you could think about Tchiyat HaMetim. But here, that's the essence of Ava Rabba. So therefore, again, a person should be makbid to make Birchas HaTorah before he starts davening. Yes, Shlomo.
Is that the way you're like saying the bracha that you have to say? Is that the order you're supposed to say?
They're different orders. Rav Amital Zatzal once told me that the most accepted posek in the entire world of all times is the sitter. Okay? You could do whatever it says in your sitter. It's fine.
For a day, sorry.
But they're different shittah. Hopefully right. Try to use the same sitter, but unless you lock on a particular order, you could just follow your sitter. Okay? The order I said it to you is the order that I think is most accepted. Alright? Now, the next thing that we normally have with davening is Birchat HaShachar, meaning Sha'asas Lasechvi Vina, and onward. Birchat HaShachar. Birchat HaShachar, as opposed to all of the above, can be said after davening. So if you're late, you could just put all those brachot at the end of davening when you finish everything else. Alright, so that's as far as what you can postpone, what you can't postpone in the first part. The second part is Psukei Dezimra. Now you're all into Sugya, right? Of Ashrei. Ashrei is the smack center, the everything of Psukei Dezimra, and everything else is just put around Ashrei. The only reason why we say Allah Halukos is because they're next to Ashrei and similar to Ashrei and an expansion of Ashrei, and the psukim by Yivarach David, psukim that added on, those are added on to the halukas. And Hodu, as an example, is added on to that. So that the bare minimum that a person has to say in order to say Psukei Dezimra is Baruch She'amar, it's the bracha before, Ashrei, the main body of Psukei Dezimra, and Yishtabach. So that if you're late, and cutting back on everything else will save you whatever it is, 2-3 minutes, and that's the time that you need in order to be able to say Baruch with everybody else and say Birchat Kriyat Shema with everybody else and say Shmona Esrei, so then you're allowed to basically skip all other parts of Psukei Dezimra in order to catch Tefillah B'Tzibur. Okay, now those things are expendable in order to catch Tefillah B'Tzibur. Now, what if you don't say them? What about saying them after davening? So the Shulchan Aruch advises to say them after davening, but you should realize it's not a kiyum of Psukei Dezimra. It's a kiyum of just saying those psukim. If you skip all of Psukei Dezimra, Let's say you say, I don't even have time to make Ashrei. You come so late that you put on your tefillin really quickly and you run into the Beis Medrash, and they're in your Shtabach right now, and they're right away going into Baruch, and you don't have time to say any part of Pesukim Zimra, what do? So that's a Machloket Achronim. The Shulchan Aruch actually paskins that you should skip all of Pesukim Zimra in order to be able to start Birchas Kriyas Shema with the rest of the Tzibur and be Mekayim Tfil B'Tzibur after that. The Mishnah Berurah, however, paskins like the Mishnah Yaakov that says you should sacrifice Tfil B'Tzibur in order not to cut out Pesukim Zimra. Now, you might ask me, what do? So my advice to you is to go with the Shulchan Aruch if it only happens to you once or maybe twice a month. In other words, if once or twice a month it happens and you come so late that it's up to Baruch Hu, then Bakasha, go with the Shulchan Aruch. If, however, it happens more than twice a month, there's something seriously wrong. I can tell you, in the community that I grew up in Long Beach, okay, there was one guy in the Young Israel, one Balabas, that had the uncanny ability of every single day for about, I don't know how many, for 10 years that I was there, every day he would walk in the front door exactly by Baruch Hu. It was just unbelievable. It was like a yekka. He just opened the door right where he would walk in. You look at the door, you knew he was going to walk right in then. Baruch Hu, and he said Baruch Hu. The guy might have been very proud of himself that he always made Baruch Hu every day, but in my critical mind, okay, I said, look, the guy has control over himself on an unbelievable level, that he has such, impeccable timing. It's a Chil Hashem. It's a Chil Hashem. The guy, every single day, all you have to do is wake up 4 minutes earlier, and he would have been there for Pesukim D'Zimra, So what I'm saying is, in my opinion, is if it becomes like a habit, because I'll just jettison, Pesukim D'Zimra, then that's not a good thing. Now, so if it happens once in a blue moon, so Vakasha. But if it happens more than that, I think you should sacrifice the Tefillah B'Tzibur and say, from Hodu on properly. Yes?
What do you do if you show up after Baruch Hu?
If you show up after Baruch Hu.
Basically, if you've already missed the chance to get a location of B'Tzibur, and
missing Baruch Hu is not missing the let's say you just missed Baruch Hu. Then it would be the same thing. In other words, you would join, if it only happens once or twice a month, you would join in. Assuming that, let's say, you're able to get to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei with everybody else. If it's later than that, then you just go off to the side and you daven your whole davening, the Yechidus. Obviously, if you live in a place like Alon Shvut, you wait 15 minutes and join the next minyan. Right? But let's assume your situation that you don't have a minyan, so then you daven be Yechidus. You daven be Yechidus. You daven be Yechidus. Yes, Zach.
If Sibba's davening and they're in Pesukim Zimra, and then if you see a Birkat Shabbat, and then Baruch Shema Ashrei in Shabbat, you can catch up there. Or you can miss out Birkat Shabbat and just see Pesukim Zimra.
All of Birkat Shabbat from Sech Rivina, once you're late, you wait until after davening. You don't sacrifice any part of Pesukim Zimra for that. You do it after davening. Okay? Yeah. No, the kiyum of saying Pesukim. Shulchan actually says you should say it, but it's not Pesukim D'Zimra. No, Pesukim D'Zimra is a preparation for Shema, and Shema is leading up to Shemoneh Esrei, as I'm sure you learned when you learned the parak. But Pesukim D'Zimra, they have a purpose there. Yeah?
What's considered doing Shemoneh Esrei with the Tzibur? Like, at what point Shemoneh Esrei does the Tzibur have to be?
So there is a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein that I've never seen, but I've heard quoted more than once, that said that as long as you at one point start your Shemoneh Esrei when the Tzibur is saying Shemoneh Esrei, there's an overlap, meaning there's an overlap even if it's your beginning is at their end, he thinks that that's a kiyum of two of the Tzibur. There are other Achorim that say you have to start with them, but
do you know if Rav Moshe is talking about silent Shemoneh Esrei or
silent Shemoneh Esrei? I'll get to other possibilities later. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yes.
If you, maybe you're telling us that, but if you had the choice of starting off your Shemoneh Esrei and all the Kehillos finishing theirs and missing Kedusha, or waiting a minute,
I'll get to it. I'm gonna get to it. Okay. All right. Now, sometimes it's not so simple. In other words, sometimes you don't come in with just enough time to say Ashrei. Sometimes you have your tefillin on and you're there and you realize I have more time than just Ashrei. I have enough time for more stuff. Okay? What is the hierarchy of, as far as within Pesukei Dezimra itself, what's the most important thing? So I'm going to work backwards. I started number one, Ashrei is the minimum. After Ashrei, if you have time, you add on the third and the fifth, meaning Halu et Hashem min Hashamayim and Halu kel b'kadsho. Those are the second in importance, and you ask me which of those two are more important. Choose whichever you could fit in. Alright? They're on the same level of importance. If you have even more time, so you try to fit in the rest of the halukas. Okay? Someone wants, there's a shaila about, do you have to say Pesukei Dezimra in order? That's also Machlokas Achronim, but you could pass me a Moshe Feinstein that says you don't have to say them in order. Okay? Better if you can, but if you can't, put whatever you could put in. If you have even more time, so you add on Baruch Hashem Li'olam, and from Vayivarach David until Hashem Tifartecha. Meaning those are the first psukim, right? Vayivarach David until the words Hashem Tifartecha. If you have even more time, you add on Mizmar L'Todah. Mizmar L'Todah is that little, right? That really small Mizmar. Okay? And then if you have even more time, you add on V'Charot and Az Yashir together. The very last thing you would add on, or the thing of least importance, I would say, as far as Pesukei Dezimra, is Hodu. Okay? Now, Yehi Chavod, some people add that on exactly with Mizmor L'Todah, while some Achronim say that there's so much Shem Hashem in there, it's super concentrated with Yudkei Vovkei, that Yehi Chavod, that you shouldn't be trying to rush through it. So some people put it on the end. If you have a regular amount of time, that's when you should do it. Now, I tried to give it just a general idea. The truth is, in the art scroll, I think the art scroll has a chart, right? So the tricky thing about the chart is that by the time you realize you have a little extra time, you flip to the back of the art scroll, you put one finger there, and you go like this, and you find exactly what you could add. So then you flip back to the Pesukei Dezimra, but then you realize, oop, 30 seconds just went by, and then you go back to the chart to check what you could still put in, and then it becomes... It's better to try to either memorize the chart or just get a gist of what you're talking about so that you could daven properly. On Shabbat, the rule is Tadir Vishena Tadir Tadir Kodem, meaning all of the things that you would say in the week first take preference, and then afterwards you add things for Shabbat. Again, there are some Svarim, some Achronim that actually put in order the hierarchy of the different things of Shabbat. The only aids that I can give you is, besides memorizing this, is to take out, the art scroll probably gives you a list, and number it in your Sidur, so you have the hierarchy of numbers. Other than that, I think it's, you just put in whatever you could put in for Shabbat. Okay. Now, aside from Pesukei Dezimra, there are other considerations that you have to bring in, about weighing with Tefillah B'Tzibur. Okay. As an example, the Inyan of Kavana. If a person finds himself in a situation that when he comes in late to davening, and this whole thing with Pesukei Dezimra and trying to catch up and listening to the Kahal and what are they up to and what am I up to and looking at my watch, etc. And he finds that instead of thinking about the words and thinking about Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's just thinking about the catch up and just confuses him. So he's in a situation where it's kavana against Tefillah B'Tzibur. And if it's a question of minimal kavana against Tefillah B'Tzibur, minimal kavana wins out. In other words, you jettison Tefillah B'Tzibur, minimal kavana is enough. Now, I have to define what minimal kavana is, and there's a difference between the different parts of davening. When it comes to Pesukei Dezimra, the minimal kavana is super minimal. In other words, you just have to know that you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't have to know what the words mean. Obviously, if you want to feel and live and grow from davening, you do want to learn the words. But halachically speaking, you don't necessarily have to be mechaven to each word in order to be also Pesukei Dezimra. Just a general knowledge is enough. Okay? Baruch Hu, you have to understand that you're being Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the the brachot of Kriyat Shema, you have to know the brachot, the Brachat Hashem parts, you have to know, okay, what you're saying, what you're meaning. The parts in between, if you weren't machaven to the meaning of the words, you're still yotzei. And in Shema itself, minimal kavana is number one, that you realize you're being mekayim a mitzvah d'oraita of Kabbalah Ol Malchut Shemayim. That's in the big picture. That's minimum, shebe minimum. You have to understand you're being mekabel Ol Malchut Shemayim. I am accepting upon myself a commitment as a Jew to serve God. What you really should be mechaven to is to say Shema Yisrael. You're kind of addressing everybody, but you're addressing yourself in reality. Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei. You're supposed to be mechaven that Yudkei Vavkei means that He is the Lord over everything, and Hayahovevia, He was, is, and will be. That's the minimal kavana of what Shema Hashem is about. We're not getting into all kinds of Kabbalistic kavanas and things like that, which I couldn't tell you, okay? I have to kill you all. That's Shema Hashem. That's a kavana of Shema Hashem. Elokeinu, in Shema, Elokeinu basically means I accept that, in other words, Yudke Vovke is an objective God. That's objective God. That's who God is. You're just relating to Yudke Vavke to God. Elokeinu is basically saying He is my God. You're accepting Him as your God. And Chazal say that when you're saying Elokeinu, you have to realize that you are ready to do whatever it takes to serve God, even in situations of your Harigal Yavar if need be. Right? Elokeinu, you're accepting Him as your God. And then Yudke Vavke, the same Kavana, Ha Yehovah V'yeh, Lord of everything, Ha Yehovah V'yeh. And then Echad, there are two different Rashis in Chumash that come up with two different understandings of what Echad is. One, Echad means that God is one as opposed to being many different entities, okay, even though He's everywhere, but He's just one. And the other one is, Vayomahu Yashem Echad Ushmo Echad, meaning that there will come a time where the entire world will realize that God is the only God. That's the Kavana of Shema, but again, the minimal Kavana is Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. When it comes to Shemona Esrei, however, you have to know the Pirush HaMilim. You have to know what each word means, at least in the first paragraph. Not know, but you have to think of what each word means in the first paragraph. In other words, to be Yotzei Tfila, you have to know what Baruch means, what Atah, Hashem, you know, etc. Every single word of the first paragraph, you have to be Mechaven, so to speak, translate in your mind. That's a minimum kavana for Shmona Esrei. Afterwards, the rest of Shmona Esrei, it's enough that you basically, you know, you think of the fact that you're standing before God, but if your mind wanders, you have all kinds of machshavot zorot, you're still yotzei. Now, even though the pure halacha is, from what I just told you, if your mind starts to wander on the first paragraph, you're supposed to go back and say the paragraph again, most achron and most poskim are of the opinion that once you mess up, it's not kedai to go over it again, because chances are you're going to mess up again and again and again. Okay? So again, like pure halacha, mikra din, you're supposed to go back and do it again, but on a practical level, usually they say play it safe and don't go back again. You have to judge for yourself if you're capable of reining your thoughts in. Yes, Zach?
Two things. On Shabbat, do you not say Nishma?
Oh, thank you very much. I forgot that. I stand corrected. On Shabbat, I said to you before that Tadir Sheinu Tadir, right? But Zach is right. I was wrong. On Shabbat, there are two minimal things you must say on Shabbat. There's Ashrei and Nishma. You have to say those two. That's minimal on Shabbat. After that, you add in all of the chol, you know, things, and then after that, the extra Shabbos things. Thank you, Zach. Okay. Yes?
The list of the minimal kavanah that you just went through, was that in relation to beating tefillah with seedward, or was that in relation to tefillah?
That's the definition of the minimal kavanah. And if trying to catch up with the tefillah, or trying to jump and do this and that, messes up your mind, and messes up on that minimal kavanah, then you take yourself aside, and daven be yechidus. That's what you have to do. Yeah.
So you didn't have kavanah during the first paragraph. Then you go back to that. Like, let's say in the middle of Shmona Esrei, you go back to that where you are, or do you have to restart Shmona Esrei?
I would not advise going back to Shmona Esrei. Again, I'm just trying to really impress upon you how important it is. You have to have Kavanah in the first paragraph.
So is there no situation, even if I think I can't re-say it?
If you feel confident and you go back again, you do the whole thing sequentially a second time. Yes, Zach?
If the order, I mean, in the beginning, you don't need order to your order, so it's in balance, you should have to do your own.
Anything that you do quietly, you do your nusach. Anything that you do quietly, you do your own nusach. Yeah? Things that are out loud, you do the nusach of everybody else, like Kedusha, that you do like everybody else.
What else is that?
That's it. I don't want to get there. Let's stick to what we're talking about. Yes, you have another question, Daniel.
Yeah, I heard that you're supposed to say Mishmar Shir. Is that not accurate? And then
you heard what?
Supposed to say Mishmar Shir on Shabbos, and things to be similar as one of the things that requires.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's accurate. All right. We learned in this perek that another thing that's more important than tefillah b'tzibur is to be somach gula tefillah by shacharit. Right? You remember that? Yes? You all learned it? Okay. Smichat gula tefillah by shacharit is more important than tefillah b'tzibur. So therefore, you know, you can't answer to kaddish in between. You just have to be careful to be somach gula tefillah in any situation. That's not the case when it comes to Mariv. Okay, by Mariv, you don't sacrifice tefillah b'tzibur for hasmacha gula tefillah. If a person comes late to Mariv, and let's say everybody's getting up to Shmon Esrei already, so you don't say any part of Shema, you wait till they start Shmon Esrei, you start Shmon Esrei with them, right? You say your Shmon Esrei, you wait until the end of davening, the last Kaddish had said, and then when everybody starts to leave the shul, that's when you sit down and you start your Shema with the Birkat Kriyat Shema. Okay, but Shachris not. Yeah.
If on Shabbos you come really late, and if you say, it's called, you're not going to be able to say the Shmona Esrei with the Tzibur, but if you say all of Pesukei De Zimra and everything, you're going to end up saying Shmona Esrei during Kriyat Torah. Should you do the shorter version of
You could, you could sacrifice Pesukei De Zimra in order to catch Kriyat Torah. However, you have to realize that in most situations, what you also have put in danger is Sof Zman Tefillah. The Zmani Tefillah are more important than all these other considerations. You know, Zmani Tefillah is more important than Hasmacha Gula Tefillah. Zmani Tefillah is more important than Tefillah B'tzibur. You always have to daven the Zmani Tefillah at a proper time. Okay? Kriyat Shema as an example. So most Achronim are of the opinion that if you have a shul, you're davening in a shul where, you know, they're not going to say it at the right time, so you're supposed to say it at home. You say Shema, and then when you get to Shul, then you say everything, you know, together with the Tzibur as well. Even though you're Ikur Shema, you were Yosei already at home. The Gra disagrees with that. The Gra feels that saying Shema with Birchoseha is more important than Tefillah B'Tzibur, but most Achronim don't pass in that way. If it's a Shul that's davening Shmona Esrei after Sof Zman Shmona Esrei, then the answer is you daven B'Yechidut. You don't daven with the Tzibur. You have to daven, and the Zmanim are more important. If it's a shul, quite often in Hasidic places, where they'll, let's say, daven mincha way after Shkia, you're also supposed to daven b'yechidot. Because davening tefillah b'zmana is more important than tefillah b'tzibur. Now, you should be careful not to do this in some kind of demonstrative way. You know, everybody should see how frum you are, and how holy you are, and you put yourself, you know, you do it in a way that no one should notice. No one should realize it, but you have to realize that the Zmanim are more important. Any questions? Yes?
Should you make up everything that you skip after?
It's good to make up the parts of Pesukei De Zimra that you skip, but it's not a kiyum of Pesukei De Zimra.
So, should you make up after everything? And then?
After everybody's gone. After everything else, yeah. Absolutely. Yes?
If it's a choice between if you skip your Pesukei De Zimra after your Kriyat Torah, after davening, then you go and you
You don't, first of all, you don't say Baruch Shem and Yishtabach when you mash them afterwards. You don't make the brachas beforehand because it's not Pesukim Zimra. All you say is the everything else.
If you judge on the Pesukim Zimra, you skip the Baruch Shem and Yishtabach.
Right. You'll never say them, right? Yes.
Is Sotsman when you have to start saying Kriya Shema or when you finish?
That's when you're supposed to finish. Yeah.
Also, Ms. Warsh here, but when you say that,
it's after everything that I said. It's at the bottom of the list. Yeah.
You
could say Korbanos after you finish. Yes. Definitely.
Yes, that was my last question.
Yes.
If by davening, if davening with it, finishing your Shemona Esrei from this man is going to make you have less Korbana, then
if you started before the Sof Zman, and it's going to destroy your kavanah, then I would daven slowly. As long as you start Shmona Esrei before this month. Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
If you come late to Mincha and should you wait to start with the oven or start?
Oh, okay. That's a very important point. Let me repeat this question. The question is: I come into Mincha, they're already davening. I know that if I start davening right now, my Shmona Esrei. Okay, but what's going to happen is the Chazan is going to start his Chazaras HaShatz while I'm in the middle of my Shemona Esrei, and as a result, I'm going to miss out on Kedusha, right? Because I'll be in the middle of my Shemona Esrei and I'll miss out on Kedusha. And the answer is that Kedusha is more important, halachically more important than Tefillah B'Tzibur. Okay, this is what 90% of the posim would tell you. That catching Kedusha, not only that, but catching Baruch Hu, catching Kaddish, all those things of Darshan to Kedusha that you wouldn't have an opportunity of saying otherwise, is more important than your Tefillah B'Tzibur. Okay? So that the answer point to 90% of the poskim would be, you come late to Mincha if you're really quick and you know you could finish before the Chazan start, you'll get to Kedusha, then go for it. But if you're not, you're of average speed and you won't make it, so you're supposed to stand, wait for the Shmona, for the Chazan to start, okay? And then what you should do is you should start together with the Chazan, say it word for word with the Chazan, and when it gets to Kedusha, say Kedusha, but don't say, you have to be very, very careful, only say the Kong lines. Anybody know what I mean by the Kong lines? C-O-N-G dot congregation, the congregation lines. There's the reader lines and the Kong lines. Now what's happened over generations is become a minig Yisrael to chime in on top and step on the reader's lines. You know, the Chazan says, everybody chimes in, or right? But look at Kedusha carefully and translate it. And you look at it, you'll see what's happening with Kedusha, what's really going on is that the Chazan calls to the Kehillah. Nikadesh, meaning in Lashon Rabba, let us come and sanctify your name. So the Chazan is speaking to the Kahal, let us come, right? Or V'kara Zel Zevi Omar, and it's like he's leading you in Vi Omar, and then you're supposed to say what they say. You know, Kadosh Kadosh, etc. So that not only are you stepping on the reader's lines, it's almost nonsensical. Because the congregation shouldn't be turning to the congregation to say Nekadesh Shimcha. You follow? They shouldn't be saying V'kora Ze'el Ze'el V'yamar. The Groa points this out. The Groa, it was very, very makbid, never, ever, ever to step on the reader's line, to only say the Kong lines, the congregation lines, never say the reader's lines. But, Minig Yisrael, people do it. And that's okay. If you want to go with the Minig Yisrael, you can do that, but not in the middle of your Shemona Esrei. In other words, if you started with the Chazan, and the Chazan's saying, and you're saying, and according to Rav Salvezhik Zatzal, that has a kiyum of tfilat hatzibur. It's not tfilat, it's not tfilat bit tzibur, it's tfilat hatzibur. It's like the davening of the tzibur. The other Chorana mentioned it as well. And it's the second best thing to tfilat bit tzibur. So you're saying with him, you're starting Shemona Esrei with him, and then when you get to Kedusha, you stop, let him say Nekadesh, you don't say Nekadesh, and then you only answer him, and you do only the Kong lines. Okay? At the end of Kedusha, so the Nusach Svard is Atakadosh, right? But Nusach Ashkenaz is Lidor Vador. What are you supposed to do? So if the Riyu Chazan is doing in Nusach Ashkenaz, you're supposed to say L'dor V'dor. And then say Baruchat Hashem, Raim HaKel Kadosh. And then you continue with him word for word. Now it's word for word what the Chazan is saying. You want to say it word for word with him to be Mekayim some level of Tfilat HaTzibur. So when he gets to Birkat HaKohanim, you should not be Mechavim to be Yotze Birkat HaKohanim, but you could wait when he's saying Birkat HaKohanim and then move on. The same thing, you know, you should not be Mechavim to be Yotze. But there it's totally Machlokas between Rashi and Tosfot. I don't want to get into it. Rav Lichtenstein has an eitzah of like having a kavana of tonight. Like if the halacha is that I could be mechavim to be yotze, then I want to be mechavim to be yotze, and if not, not. That really is confusing. If you could do that, you could try doing that, but it's better just not to have kavana, not to be yotze. Yes, Sean.
A bunch of questions. Let's say you're down with the seaboard, and you know the Shmonesra is going to go fast, so you're down in Shachris, you would.
Let me wait. I'm sorry for my wounds. Let me inject another, just a very common occurrence. Sometimes a person doesn't have to be late in order to know that the chazan is going to start before he finishes. That's, you know, he davened slowly, or let's say relative to the tzibur, he davened slowly. What are you supposed to do? So the Mishnah Berurah says that you're supposed to try to speed up your davening, but not to a point where you can't understand the meaning of your words. Knows you could try to speed things up, but not to the point where you lose it. You don't want to lose control. If that's enough, fine. What if it's still not enough for you, and you know that you're just never going to be able to do it? So mi'ikar hadin, what you're really supposed to do is wait until they finish, and then join the chazan. Okay, or I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. Rav Lichtenstein recently taught in Rishon, three years ago, was asked a question, and he said yes, he knows that most of the poskim understand that that Kedusha is a big akim, the Tefillah B'Tzibur, but his understanding of how the Rav related to Tefillah B'Tzibur, he gives it more weight than Kedusha, and Rav Lichtenstein felt that a person should say a Shmona Esrei, even if he knows that he's going to miss saying Kedusha with the Kahal, which is against 90% of the poskim, but that's what I follow, that's what Wolfenstein says. Another question I want to interject. I once asked a very big posek, someone who wrote a big fat sefer on Hilchos Tefillah. I went to buy the sefer from him and he says, you have any questions for me? And I said, as a matter of fact, I do. And I started giving him a list of questions. Anyway, one of the questions I asked him was, what if in my Shema Kolenu, and by the way, Shema Kolenu, in my opinion, is probably the most important part of Shemon Esrei. Shema Kolenu is a time you're supposed to turn to God and ask Him for anything under the sun. You don't have to ask God only, can I be the greatest tzaddik and a big Talmid Chacham and all holy things. You can ask God, I want my football team to win. If that's what you really want, then you should ask from God. If that's what you want, you don't have to question, you know, after davening you can question your priorities. But if during davening, if during davening you really, really feel that's what you want, you know, that that's really what you need right now, then you should ask God for that in Shema Kolenu. You should put it into your Shema Kolenu, and God understands English, no matter what accent you have. Okay? And you should ask for it. So I asked this posek, I asked them, what if I have some things I want to say for Shema Kolenu, but I know that if I put it into my Shema Kolenu, I'm going to miss Kedusha. And Kedusha, according to 90% of poskim, is more important than Tefillah B'Tzibur even. So it's like, it's really high up there. So he thought a little bit and he said, no, you should say you should do your Bakasha and Shema Kolenu even if you miss Kedusha. Okay? What's your question, Sean?
Okay, so answer my second question, what about Shema Kolenu?
Yeah, I mentioned that Machlokas Rashi and Tosfot, how Shomer Kohana works. If it's as if you actually said it, then it's a hefsek in the Mahi Shomer Esrei and you can't do it. That's Machlokas, you should just have negative Kohana, you don't want to be Yotze Shomer Kohana.
Okay, so that wouldn't even help with the previous question of, like, let's say you're going to start with Seaboard, so that
no.
Shouldn't be
Machlokas
at all?
No. Yes, Akiva.
What about the other conditions?
Oh, very good. that Hecha Kedusha is a machloket between the Ramah, I think it is, and the Magen Avraham, I think. No, between the Magen Avraham and Elyahu Rabbah. And the Magen Avraham says, like Hecha Kedusha, you should wait until after Kedusha and then start your Shmoneh Esrei. But the Elyahu Rabbah, and this, by the way, is the way Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal passes as well, holds that you should start with the Shliach Tzibur. Even a situation that you can do a Hecha Kedusha, you start with the Shliach Tzibur and you say quietly, word for word, what he's saying out loud, up until Kedusha. Yes?
Back to the saying it with the Shliach Tzibur if you don't have time. So during, let's say you know that the Shliach Tzibur is going to come fast and you want a Kavanah, can you, so to speak, slow down and have better Kavanah than the Shliach Tzibur will just say it quickly?
I lost you.
No, because the Shliach
Tzibur... I understand your question.
Case, let's say in order to... You start with it, you say Kedusha with Tzibur, but then at a certain point you realize that you want to have better Kavanah.
Oh, in other words, you can't keep up the Shliach Tzibur. Yes, for sure. If you feel you can have minimal Kavanah, then you should do it on your own. But if you can have minimal Kavanah, then you should say
even
at the pace.
And also, also during Shema, the same question applies that, let's say you want to add Makasha, and since that's the key to Tefillah, would that come
before? Yeah, as I said to you, yes. That you should put in your Bakashov. Yes, Zach.
What's the bar figure after an end of
what's the deal with it? Why don't you do it in Chutz La'aretz? Huh?
Yes.
I don't know why you don't. It's like this. It's an added bonus for people who miss Barfu. That's what it is.
So if you miss Barfu,
they put it in there because they know some people come late and they might have missed Barfu, so they just put it in there.
So if you miss Barfu, you meant to...
You do it anyway. It's still a kiyum of being Mevarach Hashem Barabim. You say it. No matter what your minig is, if someone says Barfu, you answer Barfu.
Yeah, I think you should say Barfu.
Yeah, CP.
I've answered that you should also do Modim as well with the Shliach Tzibur. Like,
yes.
That you should, you can do the in between brachas at your own pace. You can say whatever you want, with more Kavanah, less Kavanah, or whatever, but you have to do Modim with him as well. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing it with the Shliach Tzibur,
you're davening your Shmoneh Esrei with him? With him? You're doing everything together with him. And Mameli doing Modim, but Modim is important to him to catch. George. It's an interesting question. I don't want to answer it. I want to look it up first before I answer it. I imagine because the halacha is that if you're the chazan and you're a kohen, right, you're allowed to say, you do with a birchas kohanim. Nachon? Right? Even though you're in the middle, he's in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. So I imagine it's the same thing, but I want to double check. Yes?
If you daven your personal Shmoneh Esrei in a different nisach than Chazan is doing, and you're davening the singer with them, should you say his nisach or should you say your nisach?
Your nisach. If it's quiet, you do your nisach. Yeah.
Is there any isser to repeating Kedusha on Shabbat singing along with Chazan?
What?
On Shabbat. Chazan repeats Kedusha in a very...
You're saying repeating words?
Yes. Is there any isser to repeat the words or should you sing along?
It's hard to say it's an isser. It's a minhag Yisrael. People do it. Rav Amital Zatzal said that what he finds acceptable is if a person, he thinks it's preferable not to do it ever. Okay? But if a person is doing it for the purpose of adding to his own kavana, if it's aiding his kavana, then that's okay. Okay? Yes?
Well, about the Hidu Kedushin again, what I don't understand is that if everyone follows the Rav Shita, that they all start with Chazan, that when one goes to Baruch Hu or Shimon or me.
Well, everybody's not coming late, I would hope.
No, I'm saying it for the Hindu Kedusha. Oh.
Well, I tell you, with the Hecha Kedusha, the trick answer is that his Shmoneh Esrei is not an extra Shmoneh Esrei that needs everybody to answer Amin to make it valid. His Shmoneh Esrei is actually also his Shmoneh Esrei, so he had to say it anyway. Right? So it's not really a problem. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's still a simple. If a Shliach Tzibur is saying it a second time and no one's answering him, then it's a Baruch Hu Batala. As the Shulchan Aruch says, it's a Baruch Hu Batala. But if it's Hishmon Asri that he would make anyway, just making it out loud, it's not a bracha vatal. Yeah. Last question. Yeah.
When you get to and also
you pause, but you don't have kavanah to be able to say anything.
So I guess the other way of struggling, you stop doing it with him and make your bakashah?
If you need to, yes.
And also, since the chazan pitches
you say you always say El Kain Shaman. You have to say El Kain Shaman. You have to say you heal out something in your feet. That's the end of Shmona Esrei.
Wait, so you do say El Kain Shaman?
Yes, you always do. Yes. Okay. Good night.